Hello and welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And this week we've been reading A Man Named Doll by Jonathan Ames. But first let's talk book news. So there's some more awards. We're really into it now. Yep. We're in the season.
Truly.
So the Folio Prize the winner has been announced and it was Colm Tóibín for The Magician.
Hooray, very well deserved. Loved that book.
I really loved that. I think it was on my top 10. Mm. It was in my top three or so towards the end of the year. The Folio Prize is awarded for fiction, non-fiction or poetry. So it can be any form of literature in English.
Yep.
And it's quite significant. It's about £30,000 from memory. So well done, Colm Tóibín. And also since we've been away, because we have been out of action for a couple of weeks with various isolation requirements.
Yes.
Which is never fun. But in that time, so this is a bit belated, the 2022 Booker International Prize long list has been announced.
Mm.
And this is one that I love following as well. So it's a 50,000 euro or £50,000 prize, but 25 goes to the author and 25 goes to the translator, which is great. And on the list, there's Cursed Bunny by Bora Chung, translated by Anton Herr. And that interests me just because I think I've read other books or heard a bit about Anton Herr as a translator.
Okay. So, and I think Bora is Korean. And I cannot find this book anywhere.
Really?
So I don't know whether it's been pulled from publication and then is being reprinted as a result of the prize nomination. But, I've been trying to track it down because it's got a great cover.
Oh,
very
now we, yes.
Lurid bunny kinch bomb.
We must read it.
Vibes.
Yeah, just for the cover. And because it's now unavailable, I want it. After the Sun by Jonas Eaker, translated by Sherilyn Nicolette Helberg. Sorry, I'm doing this without my glasses, everybody, so forgive any slight mishaps with the names. A New Name, Septology 6-7 by John Foss, translated by Damien Searles. More Than I Love My Life by David Grossman, translated by Jessica Cohen. And now that author rings a bell. Has he been nominated before,
I
maybe?
I think he won a few years ago. I can't remember what the book was called, but it was about a stand-up comedian show that went off the rails.
Was that Someone Walks Into a Horse Walks Into
yes,
a Bar?
Yes.
The Book of Mother by Violaine Hoosman, translated by Leslie Cumhi.
And that's been a French bestseller.
Ah.
Very provocative.
Okay. Heaven by Miyako Kawakami, translated by Samuel Bett and David Boyd. And
excited.
We read Breasts and Eggs by Miyako Kawakami, which you really loved, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so did Amanda, I think. Mm. So that would be interesting. Paradise by Fernanda Melchor, translated by Sophie Hughes. Mm. And I loved Fernanda Melchor's Hurricane Season. Mm. I thought that was like a comet of a book. Mm.
This looks similarly intense.
Yes. Also, intense is the word.
Yeah, very short, but yeah, you know it's going to pack a punch.
Okay. So that's Paradise. I don't know how she pronounces that. Love in the Big City by Sang Young Park, translated by Anton Herr. So that could be another Korean, and that's published by Tilted Axis, which is Deborah Smith's publishing house, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
They do really interesting books. Eleanor Knows by Claudia Pinheiro, translated by Frances Riddle. Happy Stories Mostly by Norman Erickson Passeribu, translated by Tiffany Tsao. And I think he wrote a fabulous poetry book called When Sergio Met Bacchus.
Mm, he did. And he's Indonesian and she lives in Australia now. I'm not sure where he lives, but there is an Australian connection there, which is interesting.
I really want to read that one. Phenotypes by Paolo Scott, translated by Daniel Hahn. Tomb of Sand by Gitanjali Shri, translated by Daisy Rockwell. That's another Tilted Axis.
Mm.
How interesting. Mm. And The Books of Jacob by Olga Tokarczuk, translated by Jennifer Croft.
Mm.
Should we do it? It would be
so
my
big
third attempt with Olga Tokarczuk.
Oh, you didn't like...
I didn't like Flights and I didn't like Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead, but I wanted to.
Well, this one's about 600 pages, Anna.
I know.
So
I know.
If you want to read it, I'm happy to read it with you.
I don't know
like
if I
her.
Want to.
So,
I like her.
Yeah.
I want to like the books.
Yeah.
We might try. Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
We'll start and see. Keep you posted.
Let us know if you think we should read the books of Jacob. Now, on to our book of the week. It's A Man Named Dole by Jonathan Ames. And I think, Annie, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I picked this up just at the bookshop because it looked interesting. Mm. Was it? Is that? Is he, so, are you reading it because I had it or did you read it separately?
I had it already. I had given it to my partner for Christmas or his birthday last year because, again, like you, I mean, it's got a great cover. It sounds really snappy and sharp. And Jonathan Ames wrote Bored to Death, which was an HBO show that Ned really loved. So
there you go.
There's kind of the TV connection.
Yes.
And then we've moved house and I've misplaced – well, the book is in a box somewhere and I hunted for it. So I ended up having to go to the library and get a second copy.
But I
so
love
that I
your,
could actually read it.
Annie's got
so
a really interesting,
cover,
totally different cover from the library, which
I don't
really
think
like.
I would have picked this up. I prefer the Australian cover.
Yeah, it's more. It's got a bit more neon.
Yeah, a bit
yes.
more poppy.
So Jonathan Ames, as Annie mentioned, has written for TV as well as writing novels. And his TV series that I think is best known is Bored to Death, which was an HBO series. And he also wrote for Blunt Talk. He studied creative writing under Joyce Carol Oates, interestingly.
Dooley.
I think at Princeton. And he's also been, I think he says, intermittent member of the faculty at Iowa Writing. Writers Workshop, among other, and Columbia, perhaps. So he's been involved in writing and studied for many years and written novels and TV series. And two of his novels or novellas have been adapted to film, The Extra Man and You Were Never Really Here, which was a film with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's got quite, you know, quite a lot of credentials. Yes. And then this is I don't know if it's his first crime novel, but A Man Named Dole is the first in a series with the character Happy Dole, the sort of comically named character, which is a mismatch with his personality in some ways. So Happy Dole is an ex-cop. That is his real name. He now works security at the Thai Miracle Spa. He lives in Los Angeles. And the book opens with him in his office and then he goes off to work at the Thai Miracle Spa. And in the course of his shift, he kills a man, and that's on the blurb, so that's not a spoiler. And things kind of spiral from there. So you've got at the start, he lives alone with his dog, George. He's content with his life. He's got this job that he's pretty good at.
Yeah.
And
he's been going to therapy. He's been working on himself.
Yeah. He's
in a better spot.
He's in a better spot. And then this happens. And so it all spirals from there. It's set in Los Angeles. It has a very timeless feel. It's been called neo-noir. It's been called old Hollywood. It's hard-boiled, I suppose, hard-boiled crime, darkly comic, as we alluded to. It's very much about the setting and the character and the action, I would say. Mm. What did you think, Annie?
Oh, I really loved it. It's such a slow burn and it's a funny novel because it's kind of in two halves, but the second half is only about the last 50 pages. So the first 200 pages kind of builds. And it felt to me like Elmore Leonard had got together with Hunter S. Thompson and they had a good time writing this. So there's a lot of because he gets involved in this altercation early on, he goes to the hospital and they give him dilaudid, a kind of oxycodone type drug. And so he's off his face for most of the book because he's in a lot of pain and things keep happening. A friend of his dies quite early on in his arms, and so he's grieving and hurting, and so he just keeps popping the pills, and then the pills make him really fuzzy, so then he takes some weed to chill out, and it is hallucinogenic and really fun. And so yeah, I really loved it. And then the last little bit gets quite dark.
Yes.
So the first bit felt really like a fairyland kind of big Hollywood energy. You can definitely imagine it on the screen. All of the sentences are really short and punchy and you just kind of get whipped into the action, and it is very funny. His descriptions of every character that he meets, you know, there's a man with a head that's too small, and then there was someone else whose face was described like an axe. And
yes.
The language is really fun. And yeah, and then this last little bit kind of is the come down and really drags you back down to earth, and it becomes much more real than I think it had felt for the rest of the book. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. Glad I read it, and I would love to read the next one.
Yes, me too. And I think the key, well, there are a few reasons I loved it. One was the setting and the character. They felt very real, and it did feel very timeless and cinematic. And it felt to me like, I don't know if you've ever watched those old noir crime movies in black and white, and it's often got a man sort of narrating, like that gravelly man's voice. And that's what I had in my mind he was describing what he was doing. It felt like it was all in black and white, and he was saying, and then I had to take some weed. And then George needed to go out for a walk, so we walked down.
Yeah, it is all a bit detached, isn't
it? Yeah, it has a real feel to it. Mm-hmm. It has an atmosphere. But what I loved sort of with that was it's action-packed, but also I think the way he pulls it off is with that tight writing, because I think all of this would have been weakened if he then tried to go off onto flights of fancy with flowery sentences or anything like that. It was really tightly done. He doesn't overdo it. So even those descriptions that you mentioned of the characters and some of the police officers that interview him at one point, or some of the baddies, for want of a better word, it's just really snappy.
Yeah, it's all got a purpose. You know, there's nothing extraneous.
It's been chiseled back to that interesting parts, and it just has a really good balance between action, but also you do get a feel for him, and you get a sense of what he's like or what he wants, what's important to him, and you get a sense of the place. But with just the minimum words.
Well, you can tell. I mean, it's like, I think all good TV writers have this skill of just writing good scenes, you know, that it's like he's in his office, his friend comes in and asks him if he'll donate him a kidney because his kidneys are shot, and he decides to think about it. And then the next scene he's in a bar and thinking about it. And then the next scene he's beating up someone. And you really just get rocketed along. But then you kind of have the pacing is so good, and the beats, you just hit in perfection. But like when he goes to visit his therapist to tell her that he can't come and see her anymore because if he does, he's going to have to tell her about all the people that he's killed in the last 2 days. You know, you get a bit of that backstory, and it is an emotional, or there is a bit of an emotional pull there.
Yeah.
But then he knows where to leave it as well and walks out, and it's quite funny because she's then calling after him and being like, no, you need to come back. And he's like, I can't.
I know. It's so good, isn't it? And it leaves it open for a series because obviously he will have to go back to see her.
Did your copy have a chapter from the first one, from the second one at the end? Yeah, great.
Yeah, he's done it really well.
Yeah, it's a very Philip Marlowe kind of character.
Yes.
And I think you could do a lot with him. Yeah, you're really rooting for him. He seems like a good guy in bad circumstances, and he's kind of clawed his way up to mediocrity and then just keeps getting pushed back down.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the crime story is actually quite unusual as well, I found.
So you're wondering all along, where is this leading, or what's driving the crime that was committed early on, and then you sort of, it all starts to come together. Yeah. So he did that really well, I thought. So no, really recommend. Very great. Fun. Good crime. We like a crime.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot of crime in isolation. Oh. I think I read 3 or 4 in a row.
Any that you'd recommend?
Well, this is great. There's a few others that are yet to come out. So Solari Gentile, her new book is called The Woman in the Library, and it's really fun.
Oh.
Quite a puzzly book set in Boston, centering around a woman who gets murdered in the Boston Public Library. I also read one called Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone by Benjamin Stevenson.
Oh.
And it's about a family reunion, a little bit like Knives Out, where narrator at the front is a mystery writer, and or actually he writes books on tips how to write mysteries. He doesn't even write novels himself. And he is like, right, well, I'll just be honest with you. We've all killed someone. It's in the title, you know. It's not a surprise. And now we're at this isolated ski chalet and someone's going to die. The bodies start piling up. They come on page 57, 207, you know, like he lists it all
hilarious.
At the start, and then it all kind of plays out. So it's interesting and puzzly and fun.
Oh,
so yeah. I enjoyed that too.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. We can do a crime spree now. Mm-hmm. So this one was A Man Named Doll by Jonathan Ames. So we're recommending. Mm. But send us any of your crime recommendations as well. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go, or email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on Instagram, Litter and Twitzy. No. Instagram. too many coffees. I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at Mr. _Annie.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.